I want to talk to you today about something that's going to help you very much. But we are unique. We're a happy church. Sometimes we shout. Sometimes we dance. But above all, we are a teaching church. And I want to talk to you today about something that's going to help you very much. I want to talk to you about the power of success. So say with me, the power of success.
The power of success.
And all of you who are not interested in success and you're not interested in being successful, I suggest you leave right now. Because I'm going to rub success power off on every one of you who stick around here today. And some of you who may not even consciously believe, I'm going to rub this success power off on you subconsciously, like I did that young man who didn't believe. But you see, I got to him subconsciously. You see, the stuff I use will work for you, even if you don't believe in me as a person. And I'd like to make this clear also. I'm not really trying to get anybody to believe in me as a person. I'm not insulted with those who say, I don't believe in you. Because frankly, I'm not trying to get you to believe in me as a person. I'm trying to get you to believe in yourself. That's one of the differences in this ministry. You see, I'm not interested in making converts to any form of organized religion. I'm only interested in converting you to yourself. I'm not interested in trying to herd masses of people into the folds of organized religion. Oh, it gets quiet. Evangelists have been doing that for thousands of years, hundreds of years, herding masses of people into the folds of organized religion. But here is one evangelist that does not come to try to convert you to any form of organized religion. I only wish to convert you to yourself. So if you want success, stay here. Even if you don't want it, just stay here and behave, and I'll let you sit there, and I'll rub some off on you free. I want to read some text from the scriptures. And for the reading of these texts, I'm going to ask all of you to stand, please. While you're standing, you're going to find that even my sermons are different, because we have you participate in these sermons. We have you to help me preach these sermons even. I don't let you sit down too long, you see, because your circulation will slow down and you'll get sleepy. That's why I have you participate in the sermon. And at times we have you help us to preach it. It's a bit unorthodox, but it works. Because I'm not trying to impress you at all with my homiletical expertise or my hermeneutical accuracy. Whatever those are. Some big words that I picked up on at the theological seminary. First text that we are going to read is from Timothy, the first chapter and the seventh verse. 2 Timothy, first chapter and the seventh verse. And I'm going to just use the subject, you have the power of success, and I'm going to convert this to the first person. I have the power of success. Say that to yourself with hands and voices. Come on. I have the power of success. See, you're preaching to yourself already. I told you I'd get you to help me preach these sermons. I want you to stretch the I out. I want you to emphasize the I. Come on. I have the power of success. Now, from 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the seventh verse, repeat it after me as I shall read it. For God has not given us the spirit of fear,
have not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power,
but of power,
and of love,
and of love,
and of a sound mind,
and of a sound mind.
I want to read it again, and you're going to find me purposely repetitious, purposely redundant, because it is by repetition that you introduce a new idea effectively into your subconscious mind. You see, most of us, we've had negatives repeated to us all of our days. The voices of the world mind are forever shouting at us, telling us what we can't be, what we can't do, and what we can't have. And so I have to continue to shout at you with a positive voice and teach you to shout at yourself with a positive voice, telling yourself what you can be, what you can do, and what you can have if you believe in yourself correctly. And by the way, the preaching that we teach you to do around here, we teach each person to preach to himself. And before I get down here to preach to you, I've preached to myself. I woke up this morning and pushed myself up in bed, and I started preaching to me. As I walked into the shower, I started singing to me. I evangelized all of the centers of my mind. I went into the infinity of my mind and preached the gospel to every emotion. I baptized my thinking with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Until my self-awareness began to speak in other tongues of love and peace and joy and health and happiness. So let's preach this to ourselves. For God
has not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power. And of love.
And of love.
And of a sound mind.
And of a sound mind.
Now, just reading it here with you, I've invented some symbols that I want to use. Power.
Power.
Love.
Love.
Sound mind. The next statement is from Reverend Ike, the 7th chapter and the 17th verse. And I'm going to have you repeat it after me as I read it. When God individualized himself in me.
When God individualized himself in me.
Through me.
Through me.
And as me.
And as me.
He left nothing out.
He left nothing out.
All right. Wonderful.
I want you to say this again with me, with your hands and your voices. When God individualized himself in me.
When God individualized himself in me.
Through me.
Through me.
And as me.
And as me.
He left nothing out.
He left nothing out.
I have. The power.
The power.
Of success.
Of success.
You may be seated. Since we're talking about success, I'd like to address myself to the question, what is success? And to define success in the vernacular of Reverend Ike, success is being what I want to be, doing what I want to do, and having what I want to have. Now, doesn't that sound like success? I'm going to say it again, and then afterward have you repeat it with me. Success is being what I want to be, doing what I want to do and having what I want to have. Together, success is being what I want to be, doing what I want to do, and having what I want to have. Now stop and think about that for a moment. And here again, we do a lot of preaching in the first person. And whenever I use the first person, you ought to use it for yourself as well. When you can be what you want to be, isn't that success? If so, say that's success. When you can do what you want to do, isn't that success? Come on, you people aren't sassy enough. See, some of you don't know when to be sassy. We'll start again, and if it's success, you say, that's success. I say, when you can be what you want to be, is that success? When you can do what you want to do, is that success?
Success.
When you can have what you want to have, is that success?
Success.
We're even going to be even more emphatic about it. I'm going to have you stand up and put your hands on your hip. Come on. And you're going to, when you answer me, you're going to let your backbone slip. And when you say success, shake it to the east. I know you've never heard a sermon like this, and I know some people say, Reverend Ike, I never heard of a preacher doing this in church. Now that's why you haven't been any more successful, too. I know what I'm doing. You see, you're going to remember this. Even if you don't agree with it, you're going to remember it. Even if you think it's silly, you're going to remember this. Even if you old fundamentalists, dyed-in-the-wool religious people, think that it's sacrilegious, you're going to remember it.
Yes, sir.
And if you shake it like I say shake it, you'll make it like I say make it. So we're going through this success thing again. And if that's success, I want you to put one hand on your hip and shake the other hand. Say, that way. I say that success is being what you want to be. I say success is doing what you want to do.
That's success, baby.
I say success is having what you want to have.
That's success, baby.
You may be seated. Also, we may say that success is being a winner in the game of life. Isn't that success, baby? I'd like to give you for a moment a profile of a successful person. First of all, a successful person is healthy-minded. And thereby transmits health to his body and affairs. If you want to be healthy in your body, your physical body, if you want your affairs in order, learn to practice healthy-mindedness. If you want your business in order, get your mind in order and keep your mind in order. The oldest book of wisdom, the Bible, in the Proverbs, states, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And here in the scriptures, the word heart indicates the deeper mind, the subconscious mind. Keep your mind in order, and your mind will keep your affairs in order. Get your mind in order, and your affairs will be in order. But I found a lot of religious people, and especially a lot of praying people, they pray one thing and think another. And then say, Reverend Ike, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Religious people puzzle me, I know, because I used to have religion myself. And religious people have a habit of praying, Lord, please, please do this, do that, give me this, give me that, and don't have the slightest idea that it will happen. It's like the little lady who read in the Bible that faith could move mountains. So there was this mountain behind her house, and before she went to bed that night, she pulled down the blinds and knelt down by her bed and said, Now, Lord, I want you to move that mountain by in the morning. Next morning she woke up, the sun was shining bright. She jumped up and went to the window and flipped up the shade and looked out the window and said, I knew there was nothing to that. But to be somewhat serious for a moment, you know, you can pray for the healing of your body all you want to, but if you do not believe, if you do not begin to establish within yourself a healthy attitude, healthy mindedness, you will not be healed. And here again, this ministry and healthy mindedness is not just simply for sick people. That's why I went out of the so-called, quote, faith healing business, because people always thought that, you know, that they weren't supposed to come to me unless they were sick. You know, something was supposed to be wrong with you for you to come to me, and I was just sort of dispensing spiritual band-aids. But this ministry is the science of living, the joy of living. And we teach you how to stay healthy. You look around here today, and these folks look healthy. Even those who came in here sick, they're looking healthier. If you want to be healthy and stay healthy, learn to practice healthy mindedness. And that prayer for health and healing that we use here, and we'll never wear it out. Every time I speak, I give it to you again. God in me is my health. That is a great stimulator of healthy mindedness. So again, right here, right now, I want each one of you, touch yourself so that you can feel it. And you're talking to yourself now. And say, God in me is my health right now. Come on. God in me is my health right now. Now, I'm not going to call you down here and line you up and pray for you one by one. And there wouldn't necessarily be anything wrong with that. I used to do it that way, and we helped a lot of people that way. I've healed a lot of people. If God didn't heal them, I'd heal them. I killed them. But I would much rather teach you how to practice healthy mindedness yourself than to have to always be giving you spiritual band-aids. I teach you spiritual independence. I teach you how to heal yourself. I teach you how to work your own miracles. Heal yourself by adopting and practicing healthy mindedness. Make up your mind to be healthy. God in me is my health. Right now, take that prayer, take that thought with you and practice it. Practice it for your children at home. As you look at your babies and your children, say to them silently and subconsciously, God in you is your help. I was talking to one of our members who had a great challenge of sickness this year and was on critical and reached a point where she was completely unconscious, recognized no one. Somebody from this church went to her bed while she was in an unconscious condition. whispered in her ear, called her name, and said, God, in you is your help. And she opened her eyes and recovered from that condition. So a successful person is a healthy-minded person. And through healthy-mindedness, transmits health to his body and his affairs. Now, don't think that you can ask some God in the sky to do something for you and you don't believe it. You can't pray one thing and think another and think that you're going to get results. It's not going to work. Even the Bible says, good people, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because you see, to understand Lord correctly, as it is in the Bible, it means the law of mind, the cosmic law of mind. This cosmos is based on order and law. And there's some things you're not going to change. You have to learn how to work with the Lord. You have to learn how to work with the law of mind, which is established and centered in your own being. A successful person is healthy-minded and transmits health to his body and his affairs. If all of your affairs are in a mess, that means your mind is in a mess. And don't think that your affairs are going to be in order while your mind is in a mess. And you remember in one of the classes I taught you this. I taught you that you're always having perfect results. See, that's another thing. You're always having perfect results, whether it be perfect good or a perfect mess. You always get the perfect results of your state of mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. To continue the profile of a successful person is happy-minded, and thereby spreads happiness, consciously and subconsciously. People catch happiness from him, because happiness is catching. Happiness is magnetic. And happiness draws more happiness. Happiness draws happy people into the orbit of your life. But you go around all the time looking like a sad sack. Even an old scary dog that wouldn't bite anybody else will bite you. Learn how to practice happy-mindedness. I am a believer that once each day, at least once each day, everybody should get a good laugh. At least once a day. I mean a laugh that doubles you over and hurts your belly. You know, we teach you every day meditate, every day pray, every day say your affirmations, yes. And I say every day get a good laugh. And I taught you in one sermon a technique for getting at least that one good laugh a day. I'll tell you how you do it. If nothing funny happens, just think of the funniest thing you ever saw. See, there you go. Even learn how to laugh at yourself. Some of you take yourselves too seriously. Laugh at yourself and march on. Be happy-minded. And I continue to tell you, and I'm going to wear this out because some people didn't hear it. I keep on telling you about the old lady, grandma, sitting in the rocking chair, just rocking and moaning. The troubles in this world. And you see, some of you don't practice healthy-mindedness. You really practice morbid-mindedness, because some of you sit there and watch that television, and every time something bad is reported, which is being reported all the time, you just sit there and moan like the old lady. Trouble in this world. You get the newspaper and you scan the newspaper like a dog sniffing in a garbage can looking for a rotten bone. pick out all of the bad things and moan over them. The troubles in this world. So Grandma did that so much, just rocking in the old rocking chair and moaning about the troubles of the world. And somebody came up and said to her, "Grandma, why is it that you're always moaning?" And Grandma stopped rocking for a moment and shook her finger and said, "Now let me tell you something. The Bible says that we are going to have trials and tribulations. And I don't care what you say, I mean to tribulate." And many people have an intention to tribulate. So many people are purposely morbid-minded. I wouldn't dare tell you who they are. I'm thinking of a couple of preachers that I used to know. I don't know them anymore. Because when they get like that, I drop them. But one said to me that I've been praying for 10 years and hadn't done me a bit of good. I don't know what I told him then, but you know what I'd tell him now. I said, "Well, damn it, hand me your license." Preacher's going to say, "I've been praying for 10 years and hadn't done me a bit of good." He's got no business preaching. What are you going to tell people? You got to be a winner. You got to be a winner to tell people how to win. He was just morbid-minded. Another preacher said, "Everything I touch just turns to mud." Morbid-minded. Some people are so morbid-minded that when something good does just happen to them, they're even morbid about that. Some of you, when you do luck up on some breakfast, you can't enjoy it for wondering how you're going to get some lunch. Then when you do luck up on some lunch, you're so morbid-minded until you can't, where am I going to get some dinner? I'll never forget the young lady who spoke to me once at the Sunset Theater some years ago when I first came back here to New York. And she said, "Oh, Reverend Ike," said, "I wrote you and asked you to pray for me to get a job. And Reverend Ike, I got a job." She said, "Oh, Reverend Ike, please pray for me that I don't lose my job." Of course, I had a little more religion then than I have now. But if somebody would say that, would react to me like that now, I'd just look at them and I'd say, "Damn. How morbid-minded can you be?" Talked about Job a little bit last night. Remember what Job said? "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." And here again, nothing so multiplies unemployment and recession and depression as all of this talk about how bad the economy is. People are so morbid-minded about everything, and even so-called intelligent people. Who do you think starts all of this talk about recession? The economist in the hierarchy of the universities, in the high places of the intelligentsia, whatever that is. Those guys are so smart, you know, they look at these charts to see when the last recession was. And then they get Time Magazine and Business Week to write up, "Well, it's time now for another recession." And these other zombies read that. And they say, "Yes, it's time for another recession." And then the people on Wall Street read that and said, "Yes, it's time for another recession. I better sell all of my stocks and bonds." And they go to selling stocks and bonds like mad. And great corporations begin to go out of business. But you know, when you learn how to do your own individual positive thinking, you are then through with the panic of the world mind. A successful person is a happy-minded person, an optimistic-minded person. We continue with the profile of a successful person. A successful person is loving and beloved. A successful person loves himself correctly and positively, and therefore knows how to love others. Now, don't bring me this religious thing about I'm not supposed to love myself. I don't love nobody but Jesus. These dear, sweet saints. Just like the little Jesus freak standing on the corner of 42nd Street, and a bum walked up to him and said, "Sir, could you give me some money? I need a fix so bad." The little Jesus freak looked at him and said, "Before I met Jesus, I was all messed up on drugs. Now I'm all messed up on the Lord." Take that for what it's worth. But don't give me this religious thing about I'm not supposed to love anybody but the Lord. Even if you would read your good old Bible, it would tell you, how can you hate your brother whom you have seen? And physically, you've never seen God. You've seen him, but you didn't recognize him. All right. Take that for what it's worth. But you must first of all love yourself correctly. And until you learn to love yourself correctly, you can't love anybody else correctly. How do you know how to treat somebody else until you first learn how to treat yourself? Love yourself positively and correctly, and this is not an ego trip that I'm talking about. You love the highest and the best idea of yourself. Love the successful idea of yourself. Love the healthy idea of yourself. Love the happy idea of yourself. And treat yourself nice, and you know how to treat other people right. And then other people will treat you right. Because I'll tell you something. You know, other people and life in general treat you like you treat yourself. If you're good to yourself, other people will be good to you. Late last night, after the class, we got back to the in-town office. One of my aides began to set the table for me. And I said, "Why don't you come have lunch too? And put out the best silverware." So I began to put out the best silverware at my plate. I said, "Well, why don't you put out some of the silverware at your plate?" He says, "Well, I don't have to have that." I said, "Wait. If you are not willing to give yourself the best, how can you expect the best from somebody else, or how can you expect the best from life?" Love yourself correctly. Treat yourself correctly. Be good to yourself. And then you'll know how to be good to others, and others will be good to you. We're going along quickly now. Now the successful man is loving and beloved. And because he loves correctly and positively, he draws all of the right people into his life for every right purpose. Now that's another wonderful thing that love, correctly understood, does. If you love yourself correctly, you'll love other people correctly, and loving yourself correctly will keep the wrong people away from you. If you really love yourself correctly, nobody will even be able to do you any dirty deals. If you don't believe it, I'll tell you something else. If you start loving yourself correctly, understanding yourself correctly, a lot of the people that are in your life, they'll just begin to just move out. It tickles me sometimes to watch, as the book of Proverbs says, "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh." You know, people come to me with all kind of deals. They think they try all sorts of things. Many times I don't say anything. I just watch. Just give them some more rope. And you see, I'm sitting in the heavens of highermost self-consciousness, just laughing. And sometimes somebody says, Reverend, why don't you do such, 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 such? I say, and you know what happens. Just love yourself correctly, understand yourself correctly. And as the young lady said in the meditation, correct self-understanding will be the law of elimination to all that isn't right. If you be right, nobody can do you a dirty deal. A successful person is a prosperous person and is described in the first psalm. And I want you to read the first psalm this week. The first psalm. Whatsoever he doth shall prosper. What a statement. When I read that this morning, you know what I said? I'm that person. Come on, say that with me, everybody. I'm that person. Listen, whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. Because you see, a man who loves himself correctly and understands himself correctly, he's going to do right. He's not going to do anything but right. He's not going to try to run down any games on anybody. And if you're right with yourself, nobody can run down any games on you. What a statement. Stop and think about that. And identify this as your self-image. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Oh, I say, I'm that person. Come on, touch yourself and say that. I'm that person. Because whatever he does, he will do it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Right ideas will take him by the hand and lead him. A successful person has a right idea about himself, which opens his mind to an instant, constant flow of right ideas and right decisions which prosper him. Now, for just a moment as I close this message, let's see the money profile. Oh, that greedy bunch, you heard that, didn't you? Let's see the financial profile of a successful man. Because I don't care how successful you are, you need some money. I don't care how much religion you have, you need money. I don't care if you've been baptized in a barrel of butcher knives and sprinkled with a 45, you need some money.